Isaiah chapter 40. When I read chapters like Isaiah 40, I'm always enthused that God would reveal such wonderful knowledge to the prophet Isaiah, that he might in turn give it to us, as it is written here. I truly thought and I considered this, that surely as God moved upon this man of old, and as was able to bring forth these words, surely what joy filled his heart. It's always wonderful to get first-hand information. And surely this must have been the way that Isaiah felt when God revealed this to him and moved him by the Spirit, that he might write these words about Almighty God. I would that God might thrill our hearts by the Holy Spirit, that we might rejoice along with, no doubt, as Isaiah rejoiced. Comfort ye my people, saith your God. Speak ye comfortably to Jerusalem, and cry unto her that her warfare is accomplished, that her iniquity is pardoned. For she has received of the Lord's hand double for all her sins. The voice of him that crieth in the wilderness, prepare ye the way of the Lord, make straight in the desert a highway for our God. Every valley shall be exalted, and every mountain and hill shall be made low. The crooked shall be made straight, and the rough places plain. And the glory of the Lord shall be revealed, and all flesh shall see it together. For the mouth of the Lord hath spoken it. The voice said, cry, and he said, what shall I cry? All flesh is grass, and all the goodliness thereof is as the flower of the field. The grass withereth, the flower fadeth, but the Spirit of the Lord bloweth upon it. Surely the people is grass. The grass withereth, the flower fadeth, but the word of the Lord shall stand forever. O Zion that bringeth good tidings, get thee up into the high mountain. O Jerusalem that bringeth good tidings, lift up thy voice with strength, lift it up, be not afraid. Say unto the cities of Judah, behold your God. Behold, the Lord God will come with strong hand, and his arm shall rule for him. Behold, his reward is with him, and his work before him. He shall feed his flock like a shepherd. He shall gather the lambs with his arm, and carry them in his bosom, and shall gently lead those that are with young. Who hath measured the waters in the hollow of his hand, and meted out heaven with a span, and comprehended the dust of the earth in a measure, and weighed the mountain in scales, and the hills in a balance? Who hath directed the Spirit of the Lord, or being his counselor hath taught him? With whom took he counsel, and who instructed him, and taught him in the path of judgment, and taught him knowledge, and showed to him the way of understanding? Behold, the nations are as a drop of a bucket, and are counted as the small dust of the balance. Behold, he taketh up the isles as a very little thing. And Lebanon is not sufficient to burn, nor the beasts thereof sufficient for a burnt offering. All nations before him are as nothing, and they are counted to him less than nothing in vanity. To whom then will you liken God? Or what likeness will you compare unto him? The workman melteth a graven image, and the goldsmith spreadeth it over with gold, and casteth silver chains. He that is so impoverished that he hath no oblation chooseth a tree that will not rot. He seeketh unto him a cunning workman to prepare a graven image that shall not be moved. Have you not known? Have you not heard? Hath it not been told you from the beginning? Have you not understood from the foundations of the earth? It is he that sitteth upon the circle of the earth, and the inhabitants thereof are as grasshoppers, that stretcheth out the heavens as a curtain, and spreadeth them out as a tent to dwell in. that bringeth the princes to nothing. He maketh the judges of the earth his vanity. Yea, they shall not be planted. Yea, they shall not be sown. Yea, their stock shall not take root in the earth. And he shall also blow upon them, and they shall wither, and the whirlwind shall take them away as stubble. To whom then will you liken me, or shall I be equal, saith the Holy One? Lift up your eyes on high, and behold, who hath created these things that bringeth out their hosts by number? He calleth them by names of the greatness of his might, for that he is strong in power, not one favor. Thus saith thou, O Jacob, speaketh, O Israel, my way is hid from the Lord, and my judgment is passed over from my God. Hast thou not known? Hast thou not heard? The everlasting God, the Lord, the creator of the ends of the earth, fainteth not, neither is weary. There is no searching of his understanding. He giveth power to the faint, and to them that have no might he increaseth strength. Even the youth shall faint and be weary, and the young men shall utterly fall. But they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary, and they shall walk and not faint. Lord, we thank you this morning for your goodness, mercy, and love. Thankful for the Word of God, and it thrills our hearts and souls. Pray now, Father, that as we've come together as a New Testament church, that you'd be pleased to bless us. We stand in need of your presence and power. Lord, we need you every moment of our life. We pray especially for Christopher this morning, Lord. He's in your hands. You know, Lord, what your will is for him. Pray for Andre and Regina, for Connie and the rest of the family, Lord. Help them to trust you. Help them to lean upon you. Help them, Lord, to look to you. We know you do all things well. We don't question you, Lord. Fill our hearts with the knowledge of your word. And let us know, Lord, that you're the one that ruleth and reigns. You're the one that sitteth on the throne, and we're as grasshoppers. It's hard to comprehend that you even can count the dust. Lord, we're not able to do anything when it comes to thinking of your greatness and your wonderful, mighty power. Now, Father, we stand in need of your presence and power in this service, and there's people here that are not saved. Oh, Lord, would it please you this morning to work in the hearts of lives of these that are not saved? Would it please you, Lord, to bring them to repentance and faith that they might trust Jesus Christ as their personal Savior? Now I pray that you would guide us, direct us, and lead us, and forgive me of my sin. In Jesus' name I ask it all. Amen. My subject this morning is God is able. God is able. You might say that it is, in one word, in essence, you could say God's infinite ability. God's infinite ability. I've got 4 or 5 messages I preach from this passage of Scripture. Several thoughts on the power of God, the ability of God. The thing that always amazes me is people questioning God. Do you not say here in verse 12, who hath measured the waters in the hollow of his hand and meted out heaven with a span? Can't do that. He does. You can't do it. No man can do it. And comprehend the dust of the earth in a measure. I don't know how much dust there is on the earth. He does. And I tell you, folks, that's greatness. That's greatness. And weighed the mountains in scales and the hills in a balance. Man can't, but God does. Verse 13, who hath directed the Spirit of the Lord? Who tells the Spirit of the Lord where to go and what to do? When to act? Man sometimes tries, but he can't. God does. God does. Or being his counselor hath taught him. With whom, verse 14, with whom took he counsel? Who'd he confer with? Did he confer with you? No. Does he confer with you now? No. Some people think they got God in a box. Who instructed him and taught him in the path of judgment? And taught him knowledge and showed to him the way of understanding. Verse 18. Now here's the problem. To whom then will you liken God? That's the problem. A lot of people set him on their dashboard. They think they're setting him on the dashboard. A lot of people think they're wearing him around their neck. A lot of them think they got him sitting in their front yard. And that's what he said. Man, as foolish as he is, he'll take something and carve something up and overlay it with gold or put something on it and think that's God. That ain't God. Never has been. As a matter of fact, that's a defiance of his commandment to have any graven image. And then he goes on and he says in verse 22, it is he that sitteth upon the circle of the earth. And the inhabitants thereof are as grasshoppers. Now you know grasshoppers, you can step on them. And God sitting upon the circle of the earth, that's what puny man is. Just a grasshopper. He stretcheth out the heavens as a curtain and spreadeth them out as a tent to dwell in. But then verse 25, to whom then will ye liken me, or shall I be equal? Saith the Holy One. See, we're always trying to visualize or to picture God as like we would some man. Or some being that we know or they're coming to contact with. But then he says, all you got to do is, in verse 26, lift up your eyes on high. All you got to do is look at the moon. Look at the sun. Look at the stars. Lift up your eyes on high and behold, who hath created these things? Where'd they come from? That bringeth out their host by number. It's marvelous. And he said, well, he calleth them by names. How's he do that? By the greatness of his might. For that he is strong in power, not one faileth. Now, I believe that what we need to understand this morning, or would have the Holy Spirit to help us to understand, is God is able. God is not being helped. There is nobody helping God. He's working all alone. And he's doing it complete in its fullness. To every detail. You don't even dust off the piano, God don't know where the dust goes.
That's too big for me. Too big for you too.
And so we see God's infinite ability. God's power is infinite in a sense. And I want to explain that later on. Man becomes more excited about traveling to the moon than who put the moon up there. It is a marvelous thing for man to go into space and to go to the moon or various other places. But the wonder of it all is that God placed it there. That's what he says here. So just look up. Who created these things? I'm often so appalled at how people talk about the creation, about the firmament, about the handiwork of God. I'm often appalled at how they talk. And then they leave that and they come down here, a little old puny nothing grasshopper. And then they begin to talk about, well, we'll help God do this. No, you ain't going to help God do anything. God might use you to do something. But it'll not you be taking the initiative. It'll be God taking the initiative. It'll not you be counseling God or directing God or telling God what He's going to do and what He's not going to do. It'll be God telling you what to do. I get so upset in this thing of what some people call salvation. His power is only limited to His will and good pleasure. Now, God's power is infinite. That means it's unlimited. But there is a limitation, and that limitation to God's power is His will and His good pleasure. God never uses this infinite power contrary to His will. And He never uses this infinite power contrary to His good pleasure. And that's in everything. That's in life. That's in death. With all of His creatures and with the whole creation. That is a God that people would liken unto a four-footed beast, or to a bird, or to some kind of an animal, or to some kind of an image that they would set up. This is the God that who some would liken that to Him too. But He is not. He has power to create. And that's wonderful, but He also has power to sustain. But He not only has power to create and sustain what He's created, but He has also power to destroy what He's created. And in His time, and according to His will, the same things that He's created and the same things that He's sustained, the same things He'll destroy. But it'll be according to His will, and it'll be according to His purpose. Now His power is manifested through the Word of God. You'll never read a more powerful scripture than Isaiah 40. When you take it by line after line and precept after precept and word after word, you'll never read about God in a more powerful way. Now, you'll read about Him in a powerful way, but it'll never be more powerful than here in Isaiah 40. We find in the Word of God the origin of the source of this marvelous power, the greatness of it and the bounds of it. We find the revealed will of it. Now, I believe from understanding this and from knowing this, we ought to never try to limit or restrict God according to our thinking and our ability. And we always do. We try to limit our God to our thinking. But He is able to do far exceedingly. And we'll talk about that a little bit later on. We should pray for a heart conviction concerning the ability of Almighty God. There is nothing that God cannot do
according to His will
and to His purpose.
Nothing. I mean flat nothing. Not anything that you can think of or even imagine.
Now I believe that's... Now I thought about this, and God gave this to Isaiah. Can't you imagine when God revealed it to him?
Can't you imagine what joy and what glory flooded his heart and flooded his soul? And Isaiah said, "That's my God. That's my God."
And I believe the same thing happens to us today when the Holy Spirit really takes this truth and applies it to our hearts. Then we can cry out, "My God! My God! There's none beside Him. There's none like Him. I'm glad He's my God." Well, there's some things I want us to discuss this morning about that He is able. Go with me, and this gets right down to the heart of this matter. I've tried to punch this out on radio a time or two. Go with me to Hebrews and chapter 7 of the book of Hebrews. And I want you to notice with me in this passage of Scripture here in Hebrews 7, and notice with me in verse 25. Now look. Wherefore He is able. You got to remember that. He is able. And it's talking about the Son of God. It's talking about God the Son. Wherefore He is able also to save them to the uttermost that come unto God by Him, seeing He ever liveth to make intercession for thee. The first thing that I want us to know that God's able to do is God's able to save. There's not anybody here this morning too hard for God to save. There's nobody here this morning that is such a sinner that God cannot save. Now remember, I said the only limitation to His ability or His power is His will and His purpose and His plan. And if God has so willed your salvation, you are not too hard for Him to save, and He will save you by His marvelous grace. It may be this morning, because you know the God that we know not only is a God that has the ability of, which it would always be in accordance with His will, but the God that we know is a God of order and not a God of confusion and a God that does things on time. And He brings everything all together. It's a marvelous thing to think how God can bring me the gospel. It's a marvelous thing to think how God can bring the gospel to me. And ever how that He designed it to be, that's exactly the way it is. And you, even being here this morning, you're not here by some mysterious accident. Whatever the outcome this morning is in your life, saved or not saved, you're not here by accident. You're here by the providence of God. We need to recognize this. And so, when we look out and when we think about salvation, we ought not so much to think about the sinner, how hard the sinner is, but we ought to think about who God is. You ought to think about what God will do according to His will and according to His plan and according to His purpose. The wonderful thing about this infinite ability is that He saves a person with an eternal salvation. You know, I told you that God is such a God that He not only creates, but He can sustain, and if it pleases Him, He can destroy it. It's the same way with salvation. God is not only a God that is a saving God, but He's a God that when He saves a person, He gives them eternal salvation. No other creature is able to save. Only the Lord Jesus Christ. Did not Luke say in Acts 4:12, "Neither is there salvation in any other, for there's none other name under heaven given among men whereby that we must be saved"? That is the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, stay with me on this. He has power to save all men were His will. He has power to save all men were it His will. Well, that power which by His will is put into action reaches not unto all men. And you say, how do you know that? Because not all men are saved. That's how I know that, and that's how you ought to know it, and that's how you ought to understand it. But I tell you, the power according to His will, the men that He reaches to, they are saved. They're saved by the grace of Almighty God. The persons that He is able to save are those that come unto God by Him. For look what He says. "Wherefore He is able also to save them to the uttermost that come unto God by Him, seeing He ever liveth to make intercession for them." See, there is a coming unto God by Him. I'm so thankful that there is. If you'll go back with me to the 6th chapter of the book of John, these are just simple gospel truths that Baptists used to preach off of tree stumps or anywhere else that they preached. Verse 37 of John 6, "All that the Father giveth me shall come to me." That's what Jesus said. That's what He said. And I'm so thankful, and this is the other part of this thing that I'm going to talk about in this. As I said earlier, "And him that cometh to me, I will in no wise cast out." Go on over to the 44th verse and the 65th verse, it says, "No man can come unto me," that is to Christ, "except the Father which has sent me draw him, and I will raise him up at the last day." In verse 65, He says, "And He said, therefore said I unto you, that no man can come unto me, except it were given unto him of my Father." Now all that is the infinite ability, not of the person, but of God. And it is as God works in such a mysterious and such a marvelous way, this salvation is to the utmost perfection. As He said here in Hebrews 7:25, "Wherefore He is able to save them to the uttermost that come unto God by Him, seeing He ever liveth to make intercession for them." Nobody too hard for the Lord. Nobody that God cannot save. Nobody like that. The second thing that I want us to notice about this infinite ability that God is able is in the 24th verse of the book of Jude. Now, not only is He able to save to the uttermost, but now look at Jude 24. Now this is the infinite ability and power of God. I said God not only is able to create, but God is able to sustain, and God is able even to destroy if it's His will. Jude 24 says this. Now remember, God is saved to the utmost. But look at verse 24 of Jude. "Now unto Him that is able to keep you from falling." See, you can't do that.
you say, well, I'm trying. Well, that's pretty good, I reckon, for you. It's trying. But you better quit trying and start trusting. I mean, I ain't nothing wrong with trying. I'm not saying that. I'm not discouraging people there. But you better turn that trying into trust. Now, unto him that is able to keep you from falling. Now, what that means is exactly what it says. It means that he is able, after he saves you, to keep you from falling away from the grace of God and from the faith of the Lord Jesus Christ. You'll never lose the grace of God, and you'll never lose the faith of Jesus Christ that's given to you. It don't mean you might not don't fall in sin. It don't mean that. Because you got to read the rest of that, all that verse. It don't mean anything that you won't backslide. It doesn't mean it. But it means you will not apostatize. You will not fall away from the salvation or lose the salvation that God, the great God of heaven, has given you. Have you ever imagined what kind of a God people have? That he has supposedly given them something and then he's not able to keep it for them? I mean, just think. That's the reason. But it all boils down to this, is that what they have, God didn't give them. They got it themselves. And therefore, what they have got themselves, they definitely will lose. It's a certainty they're going to lose. Because God didn't give it to them. But you'll see here, now unto him that is able to keep you from falling, present, and notice, and present you faultless. Now what that is the consummation of this salvation that God has given you all the way from foreknowledge to glorification. That means glorified, no sin whatsoever, not even the power of sin or the presence of sin, and to present you faultless before the presence of His glory with exceeding joy. Now we're not able to keep ourselves. We lack the power and we lack the skill, and the reason for it, Adam in his state of innocence fell. He keeps us, oh, from the dominion of sin after we're saved, and he keeps us from total apostasy and perishing. That's what God does. Look in John chapter 17 with me, please. John chapter 17, and look in verse 11. And there in verse 12. And now I am no more in the world, but these are in the world, and I come to thee. Holy Father, keep through thine own name those whom thou hast given me, that they may be one as we are. While I was with them in the world, I kept them in thy name. Those that thou gavest me I have kept, and none of them is lost, but the son of perdition, that the scripture might be fulfilled. Now you know who it is that's doing the keeping. It's God the Father and God the Son and God the Holy Spirit. We're not able to present ourselves faultless. But here we are going to be delivered complete. We're going to be delivered perfect. We're going to be having been clothed in His righteousness, and then being clothed in the righteous deeds by His grace. We're going to be presented in perfect holiness and complete righteousness. Now you read Jude 24, look at Jude 25. Who gets the credit? To the only wise God, our Savior, be glory and majesty and dominion and power, both now and ever. But not only is He able to save us, and not only is He able to keep us from falling, losing that which He has given us, but He is also able, according to His will, to deliver us. There's times that we're in the mouth of the lion, and He's a roaring lion, seeking whom He may devour, and God's able to deliver us. I thought about
it tickled me pink. Maybe not all the way pink, but anyway, it tickled me. Daniel chapter 3. Hebrew children. Now I tell you, this is the kind of God that the Hebrew children had, and the same kind of God we have. And we ought to be just like the Hebrew children. Look in Daniel 3, 17 and 18, and look at what they said to the king. Look. Daniel 3, 17. Now, look what they said first. If it be so, now, I believe that the Hebrew children knew what we know, and that is, God does according to His will. In essence, what they're saying, if it be God's will, He'll deliver us. Now look, if it be so, our God whom we serve is able to deliver us from the burning fiery furnace, and He will deliver us out of thine hand, O King. But now look, but if not, that ain't doubting God. All that is saying, if it's God's will. And it'd do us good to say that about everything comes to us and happens to us. You know, we almost sometimes demand the Lord's got to do certain things. You know, we get in a situation and we only pray that now almost like some of these so-called divine healers. God, you do this, you do this, you do this. I don't do that. If it be God's will. Brother, I'm glad we believe in divine healing. The reason we believe in divine healing is because God's a divine healer. And if it's God's will, God can heal anybody. But if it's not His will, He won't. We've got to remember that in all things when we pray and in everything that we do. And He says here in verse 18, He says here, but if not, be it known unto thee, O King. Now if it doesn't please the Lord to deliver us, if it's not God's will to deliver us, I want you to know one thing, King, that we will not serve thy gods. Some people would do anything if they thought it would help the situation. Nor worship the golden image which thou hast set up. In other words, what they're saying is, if it's God's will to deliver us, we'll praise Him for it. If it's not, we're going to die for it. Exactly, because they said, we know God's able, God has the infinite ability to deliver us if it is His will. And that's the God that Isaiah, these three Hebrew children, he encouraged in my heart how it must have flooded their soul when God revealed this to them. And they said, now that's our God. That's my God. I think sometimes we need to come down to where it's my God. It's people talk too much in general terms. It's our God. No, it's my God. But then I believe another that we want to see right quickly. 2 Corinthians chapter 9 and verse 8. Look with me there. 2 Corinthians chapter 9 and verse 8. And look at the Word of God, what it has to say here in this verse. It says this, and God is able to make all grace abound toward you, that ye always, having all sufficiency in all things, may abound to every good work. Now, I don't mean God's going to, but it means He's able. If it's God's will, He will. If it's not God's will, He won't. That's what we have to understand, and we have to recognize. God is able to increase and will so increase your worldly substance. If it's His will, you shall have a sufficiency, a perfect entire a suffering or sufficiency of all things pertaining to food and raiment. A sufficient supply to give liberally to help others. Divine blessings, of course, will rest upon the grace of God and the liberality of men that God has moved upon their hearts. What a blessing it is. All you got to do is read the whole context of that chapter. But then let me give you the other one right quick. Ephesians chapter 3, and there in verse 20. Now unto Him
that is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think according to the power that worketh in us. And the reason that is, and the reason that's that way, is because of God, and because we don't know God's will. And a lot of times we don't even think about what God's will is until He brings up a certain situation. God's known about it all the time. God has it all worked out and all planned for us. And so He can do more than men ask. Only by the Spirit of God do we know what to ask for. And God knows what we want before that we ask. And He knows what we need. And He has made provisions before that we do ask even.
Holy Spirit worketh with us.
Is there anything too hard for the Lord? That question was asking about. You know who it relates to? An Old Testament saint.
Is anything too hard for the Lord? Now with man it's impossible.
But with God all things are possible according to His will. He is only limited by His will, by His purpose, by His plan. God can save you this morning. Care how young you are, how old you are. God can save you.